In this video, we're joined by Kirsty K. Money. Yes, her real name, Money. Former letting agent, turned full-time property entrepreneur, now earning just shy of £10,000 profit per month.
I was in a quote-unquote rat race. I was working quite a lot, got a daughter. Just felt really unnatural and I just said to myself, this is just not for me.
What kind of turnover are you looking at?
Just under £10,000.
Kirsty manages multiple rent-to-rents, runs a 7-bed HMO and co-owns a London-based letting agency. And in this video, she's going to share how she's built her business from scratch while raising a daughter.
So what's the trick? How does one get a long-term booking?
So I make sure that I'm kind of visible everywhere. Go to hotels, put my leaflets on cars. I'm in the town center handing out the leaflets, as well as being online. For me, HMO is my calling, my thing.
From scaling systems to building legacy, Kirsty's story is full of valuable insights. Enjoy and be sure to subscribe for future property success stories.
Definitely learn in Samuel Lee's that you need to have these things in place. There are times when I don't even need to go to the property anymore. It kind of runs itself.
How important is legacy to you?
Probably one of the main reasons why I even invested into the academy, because I just wanted to create generational wealth.
What kind of advice would you give to somebody who's still looking at maybe starting off in property, but they don't have any experience? Hello and welcome to Samuel Leeds Success Stories. I'm your host, Patricia Masuda, and today I'm sitting with Kirsty K. Money. How are you, Kirsty?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm so glad that you're here. So we've known each other a few years.
Yeah.
So you were just telling me just now that you've been 10 years in as a letting agent before I guess you started doing your own property transactions. What was that like being a letting agent? We're always on this side of the room. So tell us what it's like to be an agent.
It's actually, do you know, you don't actually need a lot of experience to be a letting agent, actually. I got into it quite young. And at the time I had really limited experience. But what I can say is that, like, yeah, you just don't need a lot of experience.
And you did go to school for it?
I did go to school for it. And I think working in a lettings agency definitely helped when it came to like making calls and approaching lettings agents, because I know quite a few people, like, they feel nervous to contact them, but they're just normal people. So
yeah,
I think that helped in that sense when it came to my property journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so what brought you to this property journey that you're on now?
So I was in the quote unquote rat race. I was working quite a lot. I've got a daughter.
I saw she just turned 10.
Yeah, she did.
She's so cute.
Thank you. Yeah. So, you know, at the time my daughter was really young and I was a young mum myself. And, you know, I just found that I never really had time to spend with her. And for me, it just didn't feel natural. When she was 6 months old, I went back to work to pay bills, etc. And it just felt really unnatural. And I just said to myself, I just can't, like, this is just not for me, this kind of life. So I've always wanted to get into business. I just didn't know what in. So I came across Samuel Leeds's academy and it actually spoke to me. I just felt like this was it. And I just went for it.
So you did some courses, you met a whole bunch of people. And so what are you doing right now in property then?
So in property, I'm doing quite a few things actually. So I'm managing a rent HMO. It's a 7-bed HMO in Derby, potentially taking on another 7-bed HMO.
From the same agent or landlord?
From the same landlord.
Nice.
Yeah, same landlord. I am also managing 3 rent-to-rents. I am also starting a lettings agency with some other fellow academy members.
Right. Okay. So, and who are the other academy members?
So Prince, Catherine and Banke.
Amazing.
Great, great friends that I've made in the academy. So yeah, we've decided to partner up, put our skills together and, you know, start a lettings agency.
What are some of the pros and cons of working with people who you're already friends with?
We definitely all have like the same kind of vision. We all want similar things. which helps. And we've all been on a journey together. So, you know, we've all gone through the Samuel Leeds Academy. We've gone through the highs and lows. You know, a lot of people that I have been friends with, but, you know, they kind of fell off or I'm not really in contact with them. But these group of people are people that I've just kind of always been in contact with. They've, you know, been there for me when needed. I've been there for them. So, yeah, it's just been great.
What kind of lows have you experienced?
I'll say biggest low for me is like dealing with low seasons in service accommodation.
Like, and what are those seasons?
I would say like anywhere from end of August, early September till March.
Wow, that's like half the year.
It is, yeah, like 6 months. Yeah. You know, for 6 months, you're kind of like hoping and wishing, oh, someone's going to book. I've been quite fortunate actually in getting long-term bookings. Yeah.
Great. So what's the trick? How does one get a long-term booking?
So I kind of make sure that I'm kind of visible everywhere. So even if that means physically going out and handing out leaflets, like I'm doing that, you know, go to hotels, put my leaflets on cars. I'm in the town center handing out the leaflets. You know, actually approaching people. Do you need a room? Do you need somewhere to stay, etc.? Just having conversations with people, as well as being online. Being online is great, but you can't underestimate, you know, physical, like offline marketing as well.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay. And so what kind of turnover are you looking at with these different properties?
So altogether, collectively, it's just under £10,000.
Wow. Well done.
So, yeah.
That's like the magic number, isn't it?
It is. And it's so crazy because I remember just writing down, I want to be able to make £10,000, you know, and it's kind of like I've manifested it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And so how many more are you looking at acquiring? Are you going to keep scaling?
Yeah. So with service accommodation, great business. I love it. But I prefer HMOs. Like for me, HMO is my calling, my thing. So I just like creating spaces for people to live and, you know, I have really good relationships with my tenants. They, you know, they all live together really well and I love to see that I've created that. So for me, HMOs is something that I'm definitely looking at getting into. I definitely want to do, a BRR next and convert a property into a HMO and start from scratch.
Great. Yeah. Yeah. So if I wanted to find really good tenants for my HMO, what kind of things would I be looking out for?
So definitely put yourself out there on all platforms. Make sure you do thorough checks. So you want to be checking, can your tenants afford their rent? You know, do they have the right to rent in the UK? You know, and actually just physically meeting them, just having conversations with them. You know, you kind of get a feel for people just from speaking to them. And I'd like to think my judge of character is really good. Everybody that I've put in my property pays their rent on time. They, you know, touch woods, they pay their rent on time and they're just great people. And yeah, they come to me if they have any issues, if I have anything that I need doing in the property, they're happy to help me. And, you know, so it's really, really good.
Oh, that is really good. So you prefer HMOs over serviced accommodation?
I do. Not that there's anything wrong with service accommodation. With service accommodation, I just didn't like the low seasons. Like for me, there's just too much uncertainty, et cetera there. But in terms of actually creating a space and hospitality wise and customer service, I mean, it's great. Like I really got to get into my customer service kind of role in like greeting customers, making sure they're okay, etc., which is nice. I do like that part, and also staging a property, making it look really pretty, really nice, and attracting people and having them say, oh, it looks nice, good reviews, etc. So I do love that part of service accommodation. But for me, it just feels like there's a lot of moving parts in service accommodation. So HMOs is all my thing.
Was the seven-bed HMO in Derby, was that your first deal?
No. It was actually probably my third or fourth.
Oh, what was your first deal?
First, it was a rent to SA studio.
Yeah. Do you still have that?
I still have that. Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah,
I still have it on. Talk me through it. How did you get it? What did you say?
So I was in a few groups on WhatsApp. And at that time, I was actively looking for a deal. I was calling the agents, etc. But I actually got this deal in a group chat. Someone reached out to me because I'd put myself out there to say, I'm looking for a serviced accommodation. Mm-hmm. These are my requirements, etc. And someone did reach out to me. And
was it a deal sourcer or a landlord?
He was a deal sourcer, but he wasn't like an experienced one. He just said, hey, like, I saw you were looking for this. Do you want to have a look at this? So let's call him a deal sourcer. Yeah.
Did you pay him for that?
I did okay. Pay him for that. Yeah.
That's a deal sourcer.
Yeah, so he's a deal sourcer, yeah.
Well, that's great. And and what were those numbers like? How much did you have to put into it?
So for that, we put in about 6 to 7K. Mm-hmm. But in hindsight, that was a lot. But I actually just wanted it to look really nice, really pretty. You'll see in the photos. I just kind of went all out with it because, you know, I really kind of wanted to make a good impression and, you know, touch wood, it has. I feel like making that extra investment into the property and actually taking my time to actually figure out how I wanted it to look, the kind of clientele I wanted, et cetera, really paid off because even now, like, I still get good reviews, people like the property. And it's doing really well.
How many hours a week do you work on, let's say, that particular property?
That one, depends. Sometimes in high season, I've got, you know, lots of people coming in and out. Let's say about 2 hours a week.
If
that, yeah.
That's
I've got
great.
A cleaner now and everything. So there are times when I don't even need to go to the property anymore. Mm-hmm. It kind of runs itself.
Mm-hmm. Great. Okay. So tell me more about this letting agency. So you've got 10 years experience. You've paired up with 3 very strong Academy members. Where's your patch? Where are you focused?
So for now, we're focusing on London. Mm-hmm. But we eventually want to go nationwide. Mm-hmm. That's not to say if we come across a landlord who needs our help, that we wouldn't be open to them if they weren't in London. But right now we're focusing on London, but with the scope of going outside of London.
Mm-hmm. And do you have like a contract with your other partners? Like who does what?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
We do actually. You know, we definitely learn in Samuel Lee's that you need to have these things in place. Yeah. So we do have a joint venture contract between us. So everybody knows who does what. We meet weekly, like religiously, like not allowed to miss a meeting kind of thing. So when we know each other's strengths, you know, which is a good thing. We knew that before we came into the contract, but it's just, you know, now we actually get to like use each other's strengths, support mm-hmm. each other where, you know, someone's probably not so great at doing this thing. We know that someone else can do it, et cetera. So it's a really good partnership. And we've all got like special set of skills that we can all bring to the table. So it's amazing.
So for a new letting agency in London, how steep is the competition?
Very.
Yeah.
Very. I mean, you've got people that are like, you know, offering services for next to nothing. We kind of have decided that, you know what, our fee is our fee. You know, we know what we bring to the table. We know that we have a wealth of information, a wealth of experience between us. And we know that, you know, any landlord that, you know, comes into our care will be taken care of, you know.
Right.
So we know our values, we know what we're worth. And, you know, although the competition is steep, you know, any landlord that comes to us, you know, won't regret it. You know, they will have a full and proper service with us.
Great. So what would your marketing plan look like to get in front of so many people? What are you doing? Are you on Instagram, Facebook?
Yes. So we're on Instagram. We've got a website. You can contact us on WhatsApp.
Mm-hmm.
We're also doing things like attending events. So we go to events where there's, you know, landlords, property events where we know there's landlords. Mm-hmm. Landlords are going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, a lot of word of mouth. We're so lucky to be in a community with a lot of, you know, other people who are in the academy who are also landlords.
Yeah.
So that in itself is a little group of people that we can already market to, as well as, you know, the masses out there.
Would you be able to tenant properties that are serviced accommodation? Well, those would be guests, but like HMOs or single lets, do you have a specialty?
Yeah. So that's where, for me anyway, that's where the idea came from, because I enjoyed letting my HMO so much.
You are very special, Christine.
I know. I was like, this is great. I could do this, you know.
Yeah.
So it'll be HMOs and single lets. We are open to, or what we would like is to have portfolio landlords. So landlords who have quite a lot of properties and just want to kind of leave it to a manager to manage. So yeah, they could be single lets, they could be blocks, they could be HMOs, that those kind of properties.
Great. You know, when I was going through the academy, I always look at what the mentors are doing, and I kind of, you know, take a page out of their book. And, you know, Tatiana and Simon, Jeremy and Ginny, they both have letting agencies as well. Yeah. So I think maybe there's definitely something in there, right? How much capital investment do the four of you need to put into a business like this?
Very little. I would say probably £1,000-£2,000, if that. And that's just to be compliant and make sure that, you know, we have all the compliances that we need. Eventually, obviously, we will be putting more in when we have like physical offices, etc. But for now, there's very little.
Great.
Let's get real for a minute. £10. If you're not willing to invest £10 in your financial future, guess what? You're not ready for success. £10, you'd spend that on a McDonald's meal. That's how much it costs to come and spend a day with me, a multi-millionaire. You can go on Company's House right now and search Samuel Lude's net worth. I've got $6 million in my bank. Find it. It's all public. Come and spend a day with me where I'll teach you and show you the ropes in property. No big upsell, no hype. Just here's what you do. Bap, 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 bap. Pick my brain. If you're not ready to spend £10, come and spend a day with me and do that. You know what? To be honest, you deserve to be poor. That is the reality of it. I'm touring right now across the country. Get a ticket booked. They'll sell out, and £10 is early bird. They're going to go up back to regular tuition. Get your ticket. Can't wait to get to know you and hit you with some hard hitting truths that will help you become financially free 2025. Let's go.
And so what's next for you? You mentioned buy, refurbish finances. Are you looking to start building your asset portfolio?
Yes. So I'd love to do that. I'm definitely looking at, you know, purchasing a property, refurbishing, refinancing, you know, and going through the whole process. I'm very confident that I can, because, you know, the academy and everything. And I've got, you know, a lot of people around me who have done it. Yeah. So definitely we'll be looking at doing a buy, refurbish, refinance.
So we were talking about your daughter earlier, your beautiful 10-year-old daughter. How important is legacy to you?
Very important. I think one of my biggest fears is always, you know, potentially not being here and, you know, my daughter having to fend for herself, you know, if say I wasn't here or her father wasn't here, like, you know, what would she do, you know? So for me, it's very important that she is in a good position financially. So I'd say legacy is very important to me. It's probably one of the main reasons why I even invested into the academy, because I just wanted to create generational wealth. I just wanted to be sure that, you know, when all is said and done, at least there's something that I've left behind.
Yeah.
Or my children and their children's children. Yeah.
What does your family think about you going into property and business and entrepreneurialism?
Do you know, a funny story, I haven't told them. I never told anybody that I was joining.
Really?
I didn't tell anybody, no. I just thought, you know, they're going to think I'm crazy. And, you know, so I just never did. They just kind of, just this interview is probably the first time they're going to hear that I've gotten into it. But no, my mum eventually kind of clocked on. She was like, oh, you're doing a lot of property stuff at the moment. Like, you know, are you even going to work anymore? I'm just like, no, I'm just doing this full time. And she was just like, oh, okay. you know, I was like, to my surprise, she was actually like, okay, yeah, go for it kind of thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I haven't told a lot of people, you know, it's just me and my partner.
Oh, well, so, you're very private. That might be part of it too.
Yeah,
And so when you were growing up, who were your role models?
Oh, I would say definitely my mom.
Why your mom?
Because she's just like a, doesn't matter what life throws at you, you got to get on with it type person.
Yes.
You know, like she's never one to kind of just sit and feel sorry for herself. She just gets up and goes and she does what she needs to do. She's got five kids.
Wow. Five kids.
Yeah, yeah,
where
yeah.
Are you?
Kids.
Are
I'm,
you number
I'm the
one?
First.
You're the one. First.
Number one. Yeah. I'm her oldest. And yeah. So I've kind of grown up with my mom, if that makes sense. Like I, you know, helped look after all my siblings, etc. Yeah, and she's just always like been like, I remember thinking when I was younger, I've never seen my mom actually just sit down and have a meal. Like she was just always in the kitchen. Yep, got to go to work, got to do this, got to do that. Like she just never she just does what she needs to do.
Great. So
that for me is just kind of, yeah.
Do you think she might be interested in property? Like would she come with you to a crash course?
She, I don't know. Maybe she is interested. Like when I explained to her, mom, you got to do this with your money and blah, blah, blah. She's like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I will. But then she doesn't.
Oh,
but yeah,
she sounds very supportive.
Yeah. She's very supportive.
Well, that's
yeah,
good. And now she's going to know all about your success here, right?
She is. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. So what do you do for fun when you're not working?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. What do I do for fun?
Work is the fun.
Yeah. I find it very hard to switch off sometimes, especially now because I'm an entrepreneur. Like I could be in bed and I've got a book in and I've just got to make sure, you know, the guest is okay, et cetera. So it's hard for me to switch off sometimes. But I would say I like spending time with my partner. I think right now we're at a stage in our relationship where we don't have a young baby. We've got a 10-year-old. Mm-hmm. So it's like we get to kind of like go on like little dates and all of that yeah. stuff. So yeah, no, I like spending time with him. He's kind of like my best friend.
That's nice.
Yeah.
What kind of advice would you give to somebody who's still looking at maybe starting off in property, but they don't have any experience like you do?
I would say, I think people have to remember like property is not like a thing where, oh, you get it if you're lucky, if your parents come from money, that kind of stuff. It's actually a right for me, I think anyway. I think everyone has a right to own property. Everyone has a right to own some land or leave something for their children. So my advice would be to definitely invest in educating yourself about that. They don't teach you this stuff in schools.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely worth putting your money in some kind of education and educating yourself. Even if you're not going to make it a big business, or anything, at least have that education behind you so that, you know, if you did come into some kind of money or whatever, you know what to do to make that money work for you.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody that wants to start out in property, you've got the right mindset,
mm-hmm.
first of all. And yeah, just bet on yourself. You can do it. And just make sure you're willing to put in the work. If you do decide to make it a business.
What kind of skill sets were you able to develop over the last couple of years being part of the academy?
Definitely my overall self-development. Like if you told me like I'd be sitting here doing an interview and like I'd be like, no, not me. Like it's not happening, you know, like.
And why is that?
I don't know. It's just something about my confidence.
Mm.
Like, not confident, but like, being in an academy with like so many people who are, you know, who are pushing themselves every day, you know, who are putting themselves out there, it kind of rubs off on you. So the self-development, definitely negotiating skills,
mm-hmm.
when it comes to speaking to landlords, networking, marketing,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't know that I had to like become a marketer just to get people in my essays. But yeah, no, definitely marketing. Not even just your properties, but marketing yourself.
That's right. Yeah. Samuel says your face is your logo, right? And it's so true. And you've got this amazing, strong WhatsApp group chat with some women. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah. So I've got a WhatsApp group. It's called the Black Women in Property Group. Mm-hmm. And it's a really good group. I found that, you know, there were some women who, because I network quite a lot, you know, I'd speak to all types of women. And I found that, you know, Black women, they kind of like, celebrated their successes in quiet. And it was like, well, why are you being quiet about it? You know, you know, you need to celebrate your successes, et cetera. So I actually just thought about the group and I said, you know, I'm going to bring us all together. We can actually just all like, you know, talk about what we're doing. Cause you know, when you build a community, you realize actually there's so many people out there like you. And then it kind of like, I don't know, it does this weird thing where it's like, you know, it just boosts your confidence. You're like, actually, I can do it. You know, it's not just me alone. You know, there are other people like me and, you know, they're doing really well. Or sometimes if you're going through like a tough time and then you realize, oh, someone else is going through a tough time, it makes that tough time feel better, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. Like, yeah, strength in numbers,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
When other people can relate to your upbringing, your culture,
and
being a woman too, like it's all happening, right? Yeah. So it is nice to be around people who understand.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Has race ever played any role in your businesses?
Do you know what? It hasn't. It hasn't. And that's the crazy thing about the Black women in property. Some women, not all, but some women feel like, oh, their race plays a part, but business is just one, property is one of those businesses that actually it doesn't, like it doesn't matter what your background is, you're able to win.
Yeah.
So that's one of the fundamental kind of values of the group, like, hey, like, don't let this thing that's in your mind or, you know, or what other people might, what you think other people think, hold you back. You know, it's not a hindrance. Basically, you are able to win despite the color of your skin, your race, your gender, etc. in property.
Yeah, and it's in fact something, like you said, to be celebrated instead of it being like you're a victim of anything. No, not at all. Right? Like, let's celebrate that. So I think that's amazing. And actually, I'm just thinking about all of the women who are investors in the academy, and most of them are Black, right?
Mm-hmm,
and there's a lot of women who have properties in Africa and in the Caribbean, like they own land, right? And that is amazing. So when you joined the academy, how did you fund that? I mean, it's not, you know, a little amount there. Did you have savings?
I had a little bit of savings, but most of the funds came from my now fiancé.
Oh, that's nice.
And our fiance, he invested in me. Yeah, he invested in me. And it's a nice thing because he believed in me before I even did, you know. So before I kind of knew that I could do it, he already knew. He pushed me and was like, no, you're doing this. Like, I believe in you. I remember sitting at the back and Samuel kind of pitched, you know, get into this, do this course, blah, blah, blah. And I kind of like was like in my head saying, oh, I wish I could do this. But, you know, he was with me and I just thought, oh, not now, you know, don't have enough yet to do it at the moment. But he turned to me, he was just like, you're doing this, you know? And I was just like, what do you mean? He was just like, no, you're doing this. Like, you're going to do it. Like, I believe in you.
Oh.
And yeah, that for me was kind of what I needed at the time. I think if he wasn't there, I wouldn't have, like 100%, I wouldn't have. So he kind of pushed me and he said, look, even if you don't have it, I believe in you that much. I know you can do it. So I'm gonna invest in you.
Oh, so, did he get a good return on his investment?
I would like to think so. Well, yeah, I'd like to think so. At the time you weren't engaged, but now we're engaged
to get married.
So yeah.
That's great. And, you know, it's our loved ones who can really see how special we are before we can see it, right? Sometimes. Yeah. And, you know, when you have somebody who believes in you, like you say, then, you know, it almost feels like once you can do one thing, then, yeah, you know what? Maybe I can take over the world, right? And you are.
Yeah.
So good for you. And you're probably such an inspiration for other people out there as well, because, you know, even just hearing your voice, I can hear that you're private and you're timid, but look at you, look at what you're doing.
I know.
You're really stepping out. And, you know, Samuel says, be comfortable being uncomfortable. Has that been some wise words for you that you've been able to take on?
I'm constantly in a state of discomfort. But, you know, I just say to myself, this is good for you.
Yeah.
This is good for you because look where you are now. You know, when I was comfortable, I wasn't achieving anything. Money wasn't being made. You know, it was still a struggle. Just like, you know, at least be uncomfortable and know that you're making money rather than being comfortable and struggle and, you know, and you're still uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it's just one of those things, right? Fear is so limiting and we can really let it either affect us and keep us down, or we can push through it.
Yeah.
And it is hard to push through it, isn't it?
It is. It's so hard sometimes. Like countless times I've just broken down. I'm like, this, I can't do this anymore. But do you know what? Definitely it's good to have a support system around you. And, you know, like I said, my partner, because he kind of like had the long-term vision, so he could see. He's like, no, like, it's fine. Like, this is fine. I'm like, is it? He's like, no, it's fine.
And you're instilling those traits in your daughter now, right? She's going to gain strength from you. What 100%. What does your daughter want to be when she grows up?
Do you know, my daughter is quite athletic.
Yeah.
She is, she's a budding athlete, you know.
Great.
You heard it here first. She's going to be a gold medal Olympian.
Great.
So she's quite she does athletics, so running. She's a gymnast as well. She's more onto the sports.
Have you ever made any bad business decisions that you regret?
Yeah, I'd say you know, not crossing all your T's and dotting all your I's, if that makes sense. So there was a time when I rushed into something. I rushed into like a deal, you know, didn't exactly check the numbers properly. And it just meant that money was lost, you know, and I kind of had to pull out last minute. So I'd say if I had just kind of sat down, did my homework properly and not kind of rushed into the deal, then yeah, probably would have made more money there. But Definitely do your due diligence over and over and over again. Like, just make sure the numbers make sense.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the top three systemizations that you've been able to put into place in your rent-to-rent businesses?
I'd say that with my HMO, definitely I do kind of remote viewings.
Oh.
So I'm able to do that because I've got like the right kind of security measures in place. So I've got like lock boxes where they need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've also got like a trusted house mate in the property. So they kind of help me kind of with viewings and stuff. So Derby is about 2 hours from me. I don't need to be in Derby all the time. I just get the phone call, arrange the viewings, and then they just get on with it. And they call me back to say, yeah, I want the room. And I just kind of have my contracts in place, send it out, signed electronically. There's the system in place for that, for just letting out my property without actually being there. And then with my essays, having a good cleaner definitely helps systemize a lot of things, because they become kind of like my eyes and ears at the property. I actually don't live too far from my essays, but I don't go there because I've got a good cleaner.
There you go.
who kind of tells me everything that's going on there. They're reliable.
Yeah.
They get it done. They clean the property to a good standard, and they're able to see when I have check-ins and check-outs.
It's amazing how important the cleaner is for an essay business, isn't it? What kind of things do you look out for your essay in terms of cleanliness?
I could be a bit OCD, right? Because I just always think I need to be able to want to stay in this myself. If I see a hair on the bed, etc., like, no, absolutely not. So my cleaners know, but I'm like, they're like, oh, let's just make sure we do it properly, because I'm going to, I do spot checks as well. So like, I'm going to go and just spot check a property if I know I'm having a turnover. And if there's anything I don't like, you're coming back, you know, you're coming back and you're doing the job again. So just do it right the first time, because it just creates a good impression and it makes people want to come back. I've noticed, you know, when they know the property looks like it's been taken care of, you know, that's how I get my direct bookings as well. They're like, oh, wait, I love the property. It feels really homey, feels clean. Can I come back? And, you know, that's where the money is, the direct booking. Yeah.
So this next 7-bed HMO in Derby.
Yes.
When are you going to find out about that?
So I'm hoping at the end of this month, actually.
Great.
Just had a conversation with the landlord yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of just want me to take it. I'm like, okay, hold on. But they kind of want me to take it. So yeah, at the end of the month, but we're going to be, you know, finalizing that at the end of the month. So I have 14 rooms and counting. So
amazing. Yeah. That's great. And so you remember what it was like at the beginning when you were making those awkward phone calls and everybody's like, no, you're the fifth person who's called me today about this. And now they're handing you properties. Like, did you even think that you'd be in this position so quickly?
I didn't. Like, now it's so crazy to me, because a lot of these things were actually written down. Like, I was like, oh no, I'd love to be able to do that. I'd love to be able to do this. And I remember who told me, someone said to write it down, you know, and just have your goals. I think it was actually one of the mentors, actually.
Yeah, sounds like a mentor. Yeah.
One of the mentors told me to just write it down, you know, have your goals, your plans set out. And it's just crazy how it's all coming to pass. Like, you know, I kept at it, was faithful, and it's all coming to place.
Amazing. Well done. You can definitely tell that you're so hardworking and that you have integrity. People want to do business with people like you. So that's great. Well, good luck on all of your businesses.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Kristy, for spending time with us today and sharing your story. It was very inspirational. And I think it will touch a lot of people. So if they want to get a hold of you, what's the best way to connect?
So you can get me on Instagram. So it's kae.money. money.property. On my Instagram, you'll be able to find all my links to like my WhatsApp, my websites, etc., and links to my four pillar lettings social media.
Oh, that's nice. I like that name. Well, that's great. Well, thanks again for stopping by. And if you want to see more of these interviews, then please do give us some love, like, subscribe, comment, share. And we'll see you next time here on Sammy Lee's Success Stories. Thanks very much.